everyone. Welcome back to the Queens of Social Work podcast. I'm your co-host, Queen P.
And I'm your co-host, Queen H.
We invite you all to join us this week as we share, laugh, cry, and learn through our experiences as women of color who happen to be social workers.
All right, so let's get started. So the phrase soft life originated in the Nigerian influencer community, and it means to reject the hustle culture and to live a life without struggle and stress. Others have said that the soft life is a life of ease, peace, comfort, and intentional happiness that doesn't require struggle love. Now, y'all know what that is. Stress and de-stress, consisting of mutual relationships, clarity, and self-care.
Ironically, more money often allows for a softer life, but it often takes hustle to make more money. So where does that leave us? We have said multiple times on this show that it's important to prioritize your health, self-care, and learning when you need to take a step back. You know, we always trying to take a step back. We definitely support ways to work smarter and not harder. Say that again.
For sure, Queen H. So today we have a treat for you. We're talking with Michaela Rose, aka Queen M, content creator, marketing maven, and Caribbean culture curator. We're talking about the soft life. Queen M is a proud Jamaican, bridging her corporate experiences and entrepreneurial spirit with pure vibes. Okay, and y'all know we love our vibes. With previous experience with major Caribbean American media outlets such as VP Records, Jamrock Magazine, and Tempo TV, she has a pulse on what's happening and thriving in the culturally rich Caribbean community, and she's been able to cultivate a niche following. By collaborating with publicists, media outlets such as CBS and Scholastic, brands such as Nine West and Phillips, fellow bloggers and readers, she spearheads the one and only Style and Vibes, a digital media platform dedicated to Caribbean style, music, and culture. Queen M is bridging cultural borders by telling stories of the Caribbean region and its globally diverse diaspora. She's a CUNY Baruch College graduate with a BBA in marketing and currently serves as a digital marketing lead for the feminine care division of Edgewell Personal Care while continuing to build the Style and Vibes platform. Welcome to the show, Queen M.
Hello, Queen P and Queen H. Thank you guys so much for having me. And I love what you guys are doing. So I'm really excited for this conversation today.
More fire! I had to do that. So yes, thank you. Thank you for coming on and talking to us. So to start out, tell the people about yourself. Give us a little bit of background. You know, for us in social work, we talk about credentials and certifications. I know marketing may be a little different. So just give us a little bit of, you know, what's your background, even though we read a little bit.
Yeah, you read my background and I was like, oh, I sound professional, you know what I'm saying? my love for marketing really started, I was in high school and I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And I took a business class, shout out to Mr. Levy, my high school business DECA, they call it DECA teacher. And he's just like, you really have a knack for like creative and you like business. So I think marketing would be good for you. And he kind of like shared like what it was. And I was just like, oh, well, these are all the things that I've always been drawn to. I've always really loved magazines. And what I was always drawn to were the advertisements in the front, commercials and things like that. So I had the opportunity to really learn what marketing was very early on. I was always interested in business, but I knew I didn't want to do like finance or accounting. And then on the side, did a lot of creative projects. I was a dancer for years. I taught dance. I did a lot of like pageants and shows and stuff like that. So it was really a natural bridge to study marketing for me. So when I went to college, I started off at St. John's and then transferred to Baruch about 2 years into college. So I finished with my degree in marketing at CUNY Baruch. Shout out to the Bearcats. People like, who? But it was an amazing experience because I got to work during the day and take internships at all those amazing companies. VP Records, I was an intern turned sales assistant. CBS, I was a paid intern for years. I worked at the development of Tempo when it first started. So I really was able to kind of bridge my love of bringing culture and brands together very early. And then when I graduated, it was really the explosion of all things digital. And it was really the Wild Wild West at that point, because we were still learning how it was going to impact, you know, business in particular. So computers have been around for years. My dad is actually a computer engineer. So I've had a computer for a long time. So I knew like a floppy disk when it was actually floppy. You know, those are some of the things. So I just coincidentally took the opportunity that presented itself at the right place at the right time. And I was more focused on gaining skills rather than studying a particular aspect. And digital just happened to really stick with something that I really enjoyed. And now it's like bursting out of the seams. Everybody's doing something from a digital marketing perspective. So it allowed me to kind of transition from entertainment and music and really work in on the corporate side with like Nine West, doing communications internally. Like all of these things had to grow from a digital aspect. So my talent, I believe, is really bridging the gap between what needs to be done and how do we get there. So I study marketing, but I'm a problem solver, right? So that's really what I think my biggest skill set is, and my ability to translate these big ideas into small things that people can really understand and be engaged with. So I think as a marketer, really understanding people and how to connect people with processes and all the sexy stuff that comes with it really kind of comes after. So I really enjoy, you know, my journey. You know, it hasn't been a straight line, but I've picked up a lot of really great skills, and now I'm able to really bridge the gap. Feminine care was a space that I wasn't intended on working in, but I'm actually really inspired by the category itself, just because there are so many, you know, young women who need to learn more about their bodies. You know, I'm an advocate of knowing who you are and your body parts is really important. And I think, you know, the way we grew up, we did what we knew at the time. And I think now that we have the words, we have the definitions, we can really understand and advocate for young people, period, having people in the space. There's still a lot of equity work that has to be done. And I'm really glad to be at the forefront of being able to help make decisions with the brand managers about what we do and how we're seen in the space.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much for sharing that, Queen M. That sounds like a lot of hustle. That sounds like a lot of ting and ting. Big ting, small ting, all kind of ting.
All kind and, of ting. A lot of oh, and then I just grew Style and Vibe. I'm just doing Style and Vibes on the side.
Oh, no, not the main thing is the hustle thing. You know what? It'd be like that sometimes, for true.
Well, so, I think what was important about that is Style and Vibes has always been on that journey with me, right? From the very beginning, I started the platform straight out of college. And it was through Style and Vibes that I was able to learn as an example. I was able to put hands on keyboard on how to execute specific things that I was then able to leverage in my corporate world. And so the two were kind of, they coexist together. And I think for a long time, I tried to keep them separate. But now I'm kind of in a space where I think they're kind of converging. And when that happens at the right time, we'll see where that leads. But I'm not really, I'm just on the journey. I'm not really focused on the destination at the moment. But the skills that I'm picking up by having this entrepreneurial platform and working in a corporate setting, they're kind of really complementing each other very well.
Amazing. Well, I can't wait to see what happens when they do merge, because that happens. Our side hustle always become our main hustle. You know what? That's the journey of life, right? So like I was saying, it's a hustle. You got a lot going on. And this episode today is about soft life. So have you seen the soft life hashtag? I know you in digital, so I know you've seen it. Can you tell me how you would define soft life?
I really like the definition that you kind of shared, particularly it's Black women, right? You know, we are perceptually seen as the pillar of strength. And while that is an amazing attribute, it sometimes comes with a lot to bear. So I think what the hashtag and the movement really represent is the idea that you don't have to be all things all the time, and particularly breaking the shell of that harshness that we, I don't even know if that's like a stereotypical thing that is assigned to us and we then project it back. And so I think it's a reminder that you can be soft and still effective.
No, I agree. I feel like, you know, as Black women, I think there is a projection on us that we are hard. And I think in some ways we've had to be because of all the things that have happened to us. But I do think it is a stereotype, because automatically when we begin to speak or we're passionate, people feel like, oh, you're aggressive. You're this. So this movement of soft life, I think it's an interesting one. Is this something that is an actual quest? Is this something people should strive towards, in your opinion? Like, for instance, if you get a job or a dream job, and it doesn't lead to a dream life, is it soft life? Is it not? Or is soft life an actual goal or just a trend? Let's delve into it a little bit more.
I feel like it might be more of a manifestation. At least for me, when I see the hashtag, I'm like, ooh, yes. Again, we have to go back to, you know, Black women. I feel most at ease when I am around other Black women, because it's just like, I see you, I hear you. And not to say that we all get along, because that's not the case. But there is a sense of relief, of acknowledgement, of understanding some of our shared struggles. So for me, the hashtag itself is more of a manifestation of what we want to see within ourselves. And the more that we see it, the more that we can visualize it for ourselves, like incorporate. I don't know that I would necessarily not want to be seen as strong and only want to exude the soft life, but that's very personal to me. Someone who wants the holistic soft life, that has to be defined by them. So I think it's a manifestation of what you perceive to be the soft life.
I agree with that, because I feel like being able to take charge and do what needs to be done is beneficial in certain settings. I think for me, soft life is how I live my life outside of work, and also what I'm allowing to happen at work as well. So for instance, I'm not working 75 million hours. When it says 5 o'clock, boom, I'm out the door. Let me tell you, Queen H put on that backpack at 4:55 and she rolling out, okay? That's what's gonna happen. And then also just the act of taking care of myself, right? There are things I think we've been taught so long, and I saw a post on social media talking about we've been taught so long that we have to work really hard and then after is the reward, right? And I think soft life lets you know that, in my opinion, the reward is while you are working hard. You can't have one without the other. You need to take care of yourself, reward yourself, do all of these things. And if you want to sit down and you don't want to clean the whole damn house, guess what? You don't have to. Hire that maid, okay? Have the maid come in once a month. Let's be soft, okay? Let's do that. Go get your nails done and go, instead of go wash everything, clean the baseboards like our mother used to do, take down the curtain before New Year's and all. I'm not doing that blasted stuff. I already told you, Queen P, I'm not doing it. I'm not changing out curtains before New Year's. I ain't washing every piece of clothes before New Year's. I can't do it. Listen, you're going to have a load of laundry in the basket because I got to take the clothes off that I got on. I'm sorry. I don't care.
Go off, Queen H. You know I'm about to go. Queen M, what you about to say?
I was going to say, I want to hear from you. Like, what is your...
For me, I am all about, and we've talked about it on the show, you know, how important it is to take care of yourself, how important it is to value yourself and value your time, right? At the same time, I'm a hustler, you know, Caribbean people come from a place foundationally, historically, that we need 15 jobs. So currently I have 5 jobs. And you know, the hustle is real. I have a hustler spirit, but I play hard too. And I think that that is my reward. Just being able to be like, F this, out of office. My ass is on the beach somewhere, butt naked, at hedonism, living my best life for 2 weeks, thanks. And give me all the drinks and cocktails and all the dinner things. 2 lobster, 3 pieces of shrimps, 2 hard dough bread, 4 jerk chicken, 2 curry goat. Like, I'm getting everything one time, please, and thank you. So for me, I can't see myself unemployed. And for me, working is synonymous with work hard. Working is synonymous with hustle. Working is synonymous with grind, because it is. I'm somebody who crosses the T's, dots the I's. I want to make sure that my work is done when I leave for the day. So I'm going to be there until it's done. But I will take my time and be gone and unreachable, and I will play and be soft and cater to whatever my whims are in those moments. So I think one is sweeter with the other, you know, and you don't necessarily have to forego one, you know.
I like that. I think having my second child, you know, and the challenges with that pregnancy, like, extremely forced me to slow down, because it's like either you're going to slow down or something is going to slow you down. And having my daughter and having, you know, the complications with her, and even post having her, like, I was just overwhelmed. I was literally on the phone with a friend before this call, and she's just like, you know, I haven't seen you in a while, and I just wanted to, you know, tell you how much, you know, I love you, and I hope you're good, and we got to do drinks or something or something. And I was just like, I had to radically require rest for myself in the last year. You know, I told her, I said, it was in the summertime, I had this really long organized to-do list. Like, I live in to-do lists. I wake up and that's the first thing I think about. I go to sleep and that's what I'm thinking about. I had this really long to-do list. It had like 25 to like 30 things on there for the day. And I separated to work things, personal things, kids things. And these are simple tasks, like I got to pay the mortgage, I got to pay this, I got to pay. And I had done at least 70% of that list. And I still felt the anxiety around not doing enough. And it was like a small moment of like, there's always going to be a list. There's always going to be something to do. This is adulting. Like, this is what we do. So if we don't take the time to enjoy life or step away, you'll be doing a to-do list forever. It's never going to be done. It's never, I'm going to have to do the grocery list every single week. So what's one more day? You know what I mean? So I think being aware of some of those things, and I think, you know, just having that hustle mindset, and it literally causing me to kind of crash when I had my baby, the second one, it really forced me to kind of really step back. So I'm embracing soft life like y'all, but it's hard because, you know, you want to do these things and you put these timestamps on some of the things. And it's just like, you could expire holistically and none of those things are going to get done anyway. So
that is the truth. And I just want to say this real quick, because I know Queen P has something to say too. So, but I just feel like too, it's American culture as well, right? I mean, West Indians, we work hard, right? But American culture has this workhorse mentality. When you go to other places like Europe, man, vacation is a vacation, right? Maternity leave is actually maternity leave. Like, just coming back from vacation, I went to Spain, and just the way that they're living, people still really have siesta in the middle of the day. First of all, I want siesta. Okay, I like a nap. I can fall asleep right now. Okay, we talking and I can still fall asleep right now. Okay. They rather enjoy life than make money. That don't matter. So if you want them to come right now and they don't want to come, they're not coming. They don't care about these $2. They care about their well-being. And so I think there has to be a shift in how we do things. I don't think we have to go all the way to a different way, but I think we have to find a happy medium for ourselves and knowing. And my friend sat me down and she was like, listen, you cannot do everything, right? You hear you want to build the dresser, you want to clean the house, you want to do that. Go pay somebody now. You have $2 now. Go pay somebody to do it. Make them come in here and build the thing for you or clean the house for you. Pick something and let them do it. Now, let me tell you, she got a different life than me. they rolling in the dough. But I understand what she's saying. I got to stop trying to take on everything, right? Because that's what I do. Especially if I'm trying to do Queens of Social Work, right, with Queen P and build it, something is going to come to the wayside, something going to fall. So if I got to pay $2 and let somebody come clean the house, let them come clean the house, right? We don't have to do everything. And so I think for me, that's what I'm trying to get into. But you know, I'd be worried about the dollars, so you know, I'd be trying to keep every piece.
Me and you both, Queen H, let me tell you something. You hit the nail on the head when you talked about American culture. Absolutely, it's a problem here. Other cultures, actually, people tend to live longer because they're not in this grind. There is an issue with Westernization, and there is a problem in America where people feel like they have to work till they're dead, you know? And oftentimes, and we've even seen this, you know, at our previous work together, where people retire from the job after 20-odd, 30 years. And then next week you hear, boom, this whole obituary on the wall. Oh, they passed away. Oh, so-and-so happened. Oh, they died. Just like Queen M was saying, you know, like, if you don't slow down, something will slow you down, whether you want it to or not. And that's real, because your body keeps the score, right? So, Queen M, social media drives trends on what people find valuable. How do you think the revelation of the soft life has been used in general? Do you think it's been used for the purpose of attacking a particular group of people? Or do you think it's been used for the purpose of enlightening, encouraging? I mean, what are your thoughts about it overall?
I feel like it's more encouraging, but that could also be my feed. Just because I work in social media and in digital, I gotta make sure that my feed feeds the soul. Right. So I don't follow problematic pages. I don't follow too many gossip things. I mean, I do, but I don't get so caught up in the comment section or like the messages of people, because most of these people that are commenting would never say it to your face. You don't know them. And half their profile, more than half of their profiles are private. So I think it really depends on, are we having a conversation about the use and abuse of quote unquote soft life? But I don't think that, in my opinion, it feels more positive than negative. So I'm curious to hear your experiences with it and maybe some of the things that you've seen in terms of I haven't really seen attack as a word that I would use. Questionable, maybe, but I'm just like, you can think what you want because, you know, Black women are out here and they about to just, we've never been a people who have let people's perceptions of us stop us from getting and going and doing and rising above the petty. I mean, you can't come for Black women. So it started with us. And, you know, that's just that.
I agree with you. I think my social media feed is also kind of curated to the positive. Don't get me wrong. I do follow, you know, a little bit of gossip, you know, here and there, but nothing too much. And if I also scroll on, though, like if it's something I don't feel that I can deal with, I scroll on. I don't look at it. So even when we're talking about current events, if it's too stressful for me, I go on. I scroll on. I don't want to look at that right now. I don't have the bandwidth for that at the moment. So I think it's also knowing what you want to take in and what you don't. Even though you may curate your feed, there's always something that's going to come in. And like you say, not paying attention to the comments, not feeling the need to comment, and then also going in spaces that you feel are a little bit more positive. Like, funny enough, I've been enjoying TikTok. Okay. And you know, I don't do no social media. Queenette will tell you, it took me a long time to even get an Instagram. Okay. But I enjoy, you know, TikTok. I enjoy Instagram more so than, I don't even really use my Facebook. I only have it because I had it from since college, but I don't use it because I don't find it to be a positive space. I think there's a lot more negativity on Facebook since they let everybody have it. Okay. So I'm going to leave that there. But I think, you know, when it comes to the social, I do find that social media, especially once you like certain things, more of those things come around. And so if it's positive things, especially talking about self-life, I've been liking the surge and, oh, this is how I do this, or this is what I do for my life. And, but you know, it gives you ideas of how you want to take care of yourself and what you want to do. And so I think it can be a positive thing. It just depends also where your life is, really and truly. So I vote self-life.
I mean, obviously the algorithms work, okay? Because exactly like you said, Queen H, if you click on something one time, boom, boom, boom. Hell, even if you think about something, show up, okay. There's that. But anyway, so what I have seen also is like certain things that come up like, oh, I'm living a soft life. Oh, if their person loves you, you should be doing this. They should be doing this for you. Oh, I'm here doing this. Your life is shit because you're not here doing this. Right, so like a pseudo positive kind of thing, you know, you're throwing darts at the same time, you're so great, you're so wonderful, you're so powerful, you're all being type of thing, right? And so that's what I mean when I talk about like, is it something that we're trying to enlighten people about? Like Queen H said, yes, but these are things that I do for my hair, you know, on your wash day, try this, this is bomb, you know what I mean? Or is it like, I'm so great, this is happening, this is what I've done, I just gave up my life and became a whatever, I just, you know, quit my job and did this, and now I'm doing X, Y, and Z, and you should be doing X, Y, and Z. Because I was talking about how, you know, social media drives the trends and how we all decide, oh, we should all be doing this. How do we get to that place? You know what I mean? And that's kind of where I was going with the question about soft life and is it used in a good way? Is it used in a bad way?
Point.
What do we think about it, you know?
I think that's a valid point because, mm-hmm. I mean, like a lot of social media, it could be used as like a slight flex on like the haves versus the have-nots. So I could see your point there. I do think that authenticity over time will eventually win that out in the sense that if you're not truly living a soft life, it's going to come out one way or another. Either you're going to go broke trying to live this life that you've presented online, and people who are truly like embedded in the idea of soft life don't need to flex. So you can see when it's a flex As in soft life, I ain't got to go to work because my husband buys this and I got a maid and I got this and I got that. And I got, like, you can tell that that's a flex, right? I mean, I've seen that. So I could say, like, well, good for you. You know, I hope you're happy. Be blessed. And that's great. I hope that you can maintain that over the next 5 years and say the same thing. I really do. But I don't think that you necessarily need to put down or flex on someone about the lifestyle that you're living if you truly enjoy it. And that's for all of, like, social media, right? It's not just this particular hashtag. It's like, you know, self-care Sunday. It's, you know, I love the idea of self-care Sunday. And self-care Sunday came from us too, because it's wash day. So, you know what I mean? Like, those are things that we have been practicing that are kind of just showing up online via hashtags, right? Like, I still look at my mom and my grandma. They lived a soft life, if you will. Like, they were always pretty feminine. They took care of everybody, but, you know, they also wanted to be taken care of, and they were able to kind of balance that. At least the women in my life, you know, so I can't really say that I've never seen the example of what that would potentially look like. So it wasn't really surprising to me. I think social media tends to be a reflection of, you know, who we are and what we do. It just overexposes it on a continuous basis. It's like a highlight reel on continuous play. But I do think that it's reflective of who we are and how we, like, people are like, is this really us? Yes, it's us. Yes, we are that bad. Like, just look at the comment section. Like, you know, we are that. So I don't think that we can shy. It's great for some aspects, and then it is very reflective in others.
So I definitely agree with you, and I agree with all of that. And I agree with Queen P, because I do think there are people who not only flex, but also there are people who, and maybe not just around soft life, but other kind of topics, condemn people if they don't follow this regimen of this is what you should do. But again, I think it's, you have to know who you are, what you want. And soft life for me isn't soft life for you, isn't soft life for the other person. You have to define what it is. And it's not necessarily something you need to put on social media. Like you said, if you're living it authentically, you just live it. You just do it, right? You just do what works for you and what's comfortable for you. And so with that, like, what's important for you to let the people know? What do you feel that you want to convey?
Live your soft life, girl. Live it. Like, whatever it is for you. Like, I think, Queen H, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, you have to define what that is for you and really work towards whatever that goal is. And you don't need to wait to live, quote unquote, a soft life. Like, what does soft life look like for you in the moment and where you are right now? And do you need some resources? Maybe, but identify what those are. I think my sister was just telling me about a book, We Should All Be Millionaires by Rachel Rogers, the Black woman, talking about, like, why we should be million. It's more of a money and a finance book, but she kind of has been sending me excerpts, and it really talks about, like, just define what you want and figure out how to get it. And I think all too often we think we can't have it because we haven't seen it, don't have access to it. And really, like, ask, like, you know, I love this conversation because I'm just like, now I'm inspired to talk to my friends and be like, have you seen this hashtag? Like, what do you think about it? What does this mean for you? And, like, have those conversations with people around you so that the community can also help support in helping you find out what that looks like for you. And if that is, like you said, you know, leaving work on time, being able to not pick up a phone after 6 p.m., being able to eat out 2 or 3 times a week, really, like, okay, well, how do we make that happen? I was so inspired when my sister was talking about, she said to me in the same book, And I haven't even read it yet, but I have to read it. She was just like, the first thing she did was like hire a personal assistant. And I was just like, I've been trying to hire a cleaning person for like the last year. It's been on my goals for 2023. Like, I want to hire a cleaning person. In the book, she said, you have $20 an hour for 4 to 5 hours a week, because if you saw a concert that you wanted to go to, you would buy those tickets, and those tickets would be at least $200 to $400. And if you could buy them tickets, then you can afford a personal set. I was like, you know what? Let me go. And I said, you know what? I think I have somebody in mind. I called up my sister. I'm like, hey, I know she has another job, but I was just like, I need help with like house stuff and getting stuff together, like appointments and stuff like that. And she said, yeah. So I'm like, she starts next week. I'm like, yes, soft life. Yes. So it's like, we're adding more to our plate, but we have to take something off. So I think for me, that's me being able to live a soft life, is to use my resources and the 24 hours in a day that I have, and kind of really maximizing it to my capabilities, right? So like dwindling down that to-do list, an assistant is going to help me do that. So I think, you know, being able to not be guilty about time with or without family, for me, that's a version of soft life, right? Being able to travel and do, like, not think about, I mean, I don't really think about it, you know, the cost. I just, you know, buy it anyway, just pay for it later. But, you know, I really want to do more of it, you know, have my time really be my time and be flexible. I think what it was interesting, you talked about like the Americanness of the culture that we live in, because, you know, I think through COVID, especially working in corporate, like we've gone to working from home. And so it exposed a lot very quickly. You know, we were able to maintain, if not have better outputs, by having a flexible work schedule. So I think that there is some resistance around that holistically. And I think that there's a higher level of that. And at the time I was working for a multinational company and their headquarters were in Europe. But at the same time, my maternity leave was very different from the ones in Europe. And when they go on vacation, they go on vacation for like a month. They go on holiday. We don't go on holiday. So, you know, although, you know, that lifestyle is afforded by other countries, they still have the same demands on North America as a market. So I think that, you know, this is really speaking from a corporate perspective. The numbers are still the numbers at the end of the day. And so as individuals, we have to take back what that time looks and feels like. So when I hear conversations about people talking about, oh, nobody wants to return to work, the service industry is this, I'm like, these people have been working in this industry for bare bones for how long? Like $20 per hour should be the minimum, and you still can't survive off of that. I wouldn't come to work either. I'm sorry. And neither would you. So stop talking about your employees and pay them accordingly, give them benefits, and maybe they'll show up to work and be smiling the way you want them to. Sorry, I kind of went off in a rant.
Hold on, Queen P, you gotta say it. Go ahead.
Go off, Queen M.
But you're telling the truth. I mean, ultimately, and you know, just to wrap up, because we could talk about this for hours, but you know, it is true that society is set up so that you cannot, you cannot live a soft life. So you have to make your life the way that you want it, and you have to take it back. There are a lot of things that have to change. And that's why some places are now raising minimum wage, because they know, listen, who's surviving off $10 an hour? Nobody, okay? Them other places have universal healthcare. We out here barely have insurance, barely can pay to live, okay? You want us to have babies, but we gotta go pay to have the baby. Other country pay us to have the baby. Come on, just stop it. We will go off and we will be here 75 hours talking about this, right? But I agree with you, Queen M. Your life is your life and you have to determine what it is. That's really what the soft life is, right? Determine what you want for your life. And you have to go out and give, because you live one life. I don't care what you believe in, religiously, whatever. You live one life. You are here right now. What happens after? We don't know. Nobody don't know. But this life, you have to determine. No, don't nobody know. Who know? We just guessing, okay? We just guessing, all right? So that's it. But this one life right here, staying in the present, you live this life, you have to make it the best life that you can, because shit is going on, right? Everything is going on. People trying to kill us all day, every day. So you have to live your life. And I'm going on a tangent. Queen P, wrap it up, because I will be here all day. Come on now.
Go ahead and go off, H. Go ahead. Because you're right. And Queen go M, you're right.
Go off, Queen H. Exactly. All right, Queen P, go off. Go off.
Go off, Queen P.
Well, I ain't going off. I ain't going off. Y'all already went off. So we good on the going off this evening here. We good. So, Queen M, how do the people in Dem get in touch with you?
Well, you can follow me across social. My personal is Michaela K Rose everywhere, and then my Style and Vibes is at Style and Vibes. Vibes is spelled out, not like cartel. It's spelled out V-I-B-E-S, not A-Z. Please and thanks. And then you can visit styleandvibes.com, sign up for our newsletter. But yeah, I love talking to you guys and your audience. And yeah, I would be more than happy to continue to connect with everyone. On Instagram is my favorite, and it's probably the place that I will respond the fastest. If you guys want to interact. But thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate it. Love what you guys are doing again. And just so honored to be in this conversation with you guys.
And don't forget, Queen M has a podcast. So
Style yes, Vibes Queen is a M podcast. Has a podcast, the yes. Style and Vibes podcast. You can listen on all the platforms. I forgot about that. Thank you, Queen H.
Come on, listen. Yes, promote the podcast.
Yes. Thank you. We're always talk to things them. We are talking about the Caribbean culture, Jamaican culture. So
yes.
You guys can tune in and listen whenever. It's a fun cultural podcast. I do interviews, cultural commentary. And yeah, that's about it. So anything Style and Vibes with them both. Yeah.
And don't worry, Queens of Social Work will be on there. We're inviting ourselves. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Yes.
And I will accept the invitation because you know I like stupidness.
Free any kind of drama.
I am there, honey.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on. We'll have all the details in the show notes. And thank you for listening. If you guys want to connect with us on social media, you can follow us on Twitter at the Queens of Social Work Pod or on Instagram at the Queens of Social Work. If you want more information on the topic we discussed today, feel free to check out our show notes or email us at thequeensofsocialwork@gmail.com. We'd really appreciate it if you rate, review, and follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening.